Hey you, come on in, and welcome to the Love Jesus podcast. This podcast was originally designed and scripted by my husband Zach and I. Why would we do this podcast? It's so simple, to share the love of Jesus with you and everybody who will listen. The vision of this podcast was real, relatable, and relevant information and conversations that are meant to empower you, inspire you, and guide you in the footsteps of Christ. And why would we do that? Here's why. It's so simple. Because the ultimate love story was signed, Love Jesus. Hey y'all, good afternoon. It's Bree with the Love Jesus podcast. I'm just coming in to talk to you guys today about Exodus chapter 5. So as usual, I'm going to read you the text and then break it down a little bit to find out what kind of interesting facts or lifelong advice we can come up with together. So here we go. Ready? Exodus 5:1 says this. After this presentation to Israel's leaders, Moses and Aaron went and spoke to Pharaoh. They told him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go, so they may hold a festival in my honor in the wilderness." Verse 2 says this, "Is that so?" retorted Pharaoh. "And who is the Lord? Why should I listen to him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Verse 3, "But Aaron and Moses persisted. The God of the Hebrews has met with us," they declared. "So let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness so we can offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. If we don't, he will kill us with the plague or with the sword." Little foreshadowing there. Verse 4. Pharaoh replied, "Moses and Aaron, why are you distracting the people from their tasks? Go back to work." Verse 5. "Look, there are many of your people in the land, and you are stopping them from their work." So that's all the scripture we're going to read today. And we're just going to go back up to verse 1 and kind of break down the logistics of what we have going on here. First of all, in verse 1, Moses and Aaron are breaking down the basics. Let my people go. That's the point of verse number 1. Back then, the Israelites were slaves to Pharaoh. They did, you know, I know in, for anybody who's seen that little kids movie, let me see, what is it called? The Prince of Egypt. That is a perfect depiction of this story, even for adults. But back then, the Israelites were slaves to the Pharaoh, the Egyptian people. But I want to kind of turn the perspective that you're looking at this story through and think about what we're slave to in 2025. We find that in 2025, we are slaves to things such as money, depression, porn, expectations, food, double standards, anxiety, all kinds of addictions. Though the oppressors have changed, we are sadly all slaves to things in our lives. And we can be free from that oppression and bondage through Jesus. So from verse 1, one of the things that I really want you to remember here is if you're oppressed or a slave to something in your life, there is freedom in Jesus. And so that's the first takeaway from verse number one. The second thing in verse number one that I think you should just take a mental note about is after the presentation to Israel's leaders, Moses and Aaron went and spoke to Pharaoh. Most people look over that, it's not important, but I'm going to say it again and see if you catch it. After the presentation to Israel's leaders, Moses and Aaron went and spoke to Pharaoh. Catch this. They followed a chain of command. I know that seems so elementary. That's not important. We should all look over that. But here's the thing. Even in their oppression, they showed respect and dignity as they tried to get done what God sent them to do. They didn't cut any corners and run into Pharaoh's chambers and yell and scream to get what they wanted. They went respectfully to get done what God had sent them to do. And I think this is very important because the way we present ourselves as Christians in 2025 is very detrimental in whether we're able to reach souls. So we can't beat people with Bibles into churches. We can't bully you into listening to the word. You have to want that yourself. And if you don't want it, then we should be able to love you anyway. Because that's what Jesus did. He came so that we could love people. That's the only rule Jesus gave us, was love your neighbor as you love yourself. He gave so many wonderful teachings, but that's the thing. He wanted us to love everybody. And so representing Jesus in this time should still come with us following a basic chain of command and showing respect as we work for the Lord. Oftentimes that's overlooked as a minute fact, but it's so important in that they were still respectful during their journey. Tactful is what they call it in the workplace. She's tactful. So in Exodus 5:3, it says, "But Aaron and Moses persisted. The God of the Hebrews has met with us, so let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness so that we can offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. If we don't, he will kill us with the plague or the sword." Number 3, I know we've talked about before, symbolizes completeness or perfection. I always try to find that number 3 because it always tells me that God is still in the story. It's a 3 symbolizing completeness or perfection. And they are asking to go and give sacrifices unto the Lord. And as we kind of meditate here, we're discussing ways to sacrifice in 2025 versus in the mid-15th century BC before Christ. So it's very different in 2025 versus mid-15th century BC. Back then, when they're asking to go and give sacrifices, it could have been a sacrifice of praise. It could have been, you know, animals, could have been lambs, pigs, you know, etc. But in 2025, the spectrum has widened so much in avenues that you can sacrifice to God. So again, we can sacrifice our time. There are millions of churches across the nation that need help. They need help in all departments. Some with children, teaching ministries, some with cleaning, some with organizing and administration, some with worship, some with just ushering in. And so your time is a huge thing that is a sacrifice of worship when you give your time to any kind of church or organization, maybe a homeless ministry. But time is huge and your time is valuable. So giving that is a sacrifice. Also money. I know we've talked about this before, so we're not going to batten down the hatches here, but tithing is very important to your spiritual walk, but also offerings of money is a sacrifice, because we all know in 2025 everything's expensive. So your money, when you give it to the church as an offering, it is seen as a sacrifice. Worship is one of the hardest ones for us to grasp, because a lot of us feel like we have to work our way into a worship to deserve, you know, to be worthy of God. But here's the thing, your worship comes from where you've been and where he's brought you to. And so each time you go into worship and you just spend that time with him, it is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of your time, of your transparency. Worship is such a precious thing to the Lord. In fact, he likens it in the Bible to an incense or a sweet perfume. So your worship is definitely valuable to him as a sacrifice. And giving, teaching, visiting, these are all ways that you can sacrifice for the kingdom of God. It is a little different, you know, the mid-15th century versus now, but these are ways that we can sacrifice now and give to the Lord, show him our heart. And so in verse 4, and this is the most important part of this whole talk today. In verse 4, Pharaoh replied, "Moses and Aaron, why are you distracting the people from their task? Get back to work. Look, there are many of your people in the land, and you are stopping them from their work." So, If you take mental notes or you take physical notes, the key word to verse 4 is dismissal. Again, I'm going to repeat that one more time. The key word to verse 4 is dismissal. So, we find here that Pharaoh is, he's done talking to them now. He's done hearing their pleas. He's not going to be negotiated with at this time. And he is just pointing out, your people are enslaved. They're going to stay enslaved. Look at them in the land. Look at them as they work. You're distracting them. So Pharaoh's seen them as not advocates of the father, but as distractions. So he dismissed them pretty coldly, in fact. Again, his reply is, you're distracting the people. Get back to work. So, shoo, fly. I don't know if any of you have ever, tried to go camping and eat with flies and gnats, but oh my gosh, that's the most frustrating thing. And you just have to swat at the gnats and swat and just try to eat. Hopefully not eating that, but anyways, it's the same dismissal Pharaoh is doing that right now to Moses and Aaron, and it's a cold dismissal. So in Pharaoh's dismissal, I want to talk to some people today who have been dismissed or rejected in recent days, and I just want to speak some life into that situation and tell you that I feel for you. So dismissal is hard, rejection is hard, and it kind of puts a mark on your heart and your soul, but there are days when we have to realize that the people dismissing or rejecting us are human too. So even though that hurts, and you know, even when you're publicly dismissed, it hurts all the more. And we tend to do that to our family and our children unintentionally. But if that happens to you or has happened to you, please take heart that that person is too human and they're probably doing the very best that they can. So with that, I want to cross-reference some scripture for you today. So in John 15 and 18, it says this, if the world hates you, know this, that I was hated before you. That's so powerful because Jesus is saying to us, if you're hated, if you're dismissed, if you're rejected, know that I was hated first. So they did it to him. Why, you know, we're his children, we're his followers, we're believers in Christ, and we're going to be despised, rejected, and hated, and likely dismissed. And so Jesus is telling us in John 15 and 18 that we may experience these feelings. And then I also want to cross-reference 1 Peter 2 and 4. And it says this, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, you're chosen and precious. So as we may be rejected or dismissed by people in 2025, it's becoming all too common. But if you're rejected or dismissed in this age, just know this, you are a precious and chosen stone to the Lord. So let me read that one more time. 1 Peter 2 and 4, it says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Sometimes we just have to think about God's point of view versus our point of view, because we often will start to see through a lens of hurt and bitterness. And so verses like this help us to see that whether or not we've been mistreated, rejected, or dismissed, we're still children of God. And then the last cross-reference that I want to use today is John 1 and 11. And it says that he came to his own, and his people did not receive him. So, you may be in a group of people that you love and you've been friends with for a long time, and they reject or dismiss you. That really stings. When you put your faith and your hope and your time and your energy into helping people, and then they reject or dismiss you, that is painful because you have confidence and trust in this person or these people or organizations, etc. But Jesus came to his people and was rejected. So that should tell us that to some capacity we are going to have to deal with that in life. And throughout Jesus's life, we see even in Luke 9 and 53, it says that they were refusing to host Jesus. And then again in Matthew 16 and 1, they accused him of being a false Messiah. So throughout Jesus's life, he was rejected, dismissed, and in the end betrayed. But if you are dealing with a dismissal, rejection, or feelings of dismissal and rejection, I just want to pray for you today, because I know that there's healing still in the name of Jesus for your spirit and for whatever feelings you're feeling as you're dismissed or rejected. Because again, we are fighting against the spirit and principalities, not of flesh and blood. So a lot of times it's very easy for us to target a person with our anger and our bitterness, but it's very rarely that it's the person and not, you know, just the enemy coming against us. So Lord, I'm thankful that no person's rejection can ever exempt us from the love of God. And Lord, I pray for the ones that are listening that may be fighting or have fought feelings of dismissal or rejection. I pray, Lord, that you would start to initiate divine healing in their soul. And I pray, Lord, that any feelings of bitterness that may have clouded their thoughts or their minds would start to dissipate in your name, Jesus. Because we know that you were the stone that the builders rejected. And Lord, though rejection stings, we do know that there's freedom and healing in your name. And just like we're about to see, as you free the Israelites, Lord, would you free people from the bitterness of rejection or dismissal? Free them from the thoughts that the person has committed this crime. And Lord, I just pray that they would have a wonderful day going forward. Their families and their finances would prosper, Jesus. And I just pray that you would put your hand on them and protect them as they go. And thank you for their time. Thank you for the time that they spend listening to this podcast and learning and growing in you, Lord. Because that's the goal. As we press the mark, it's the goal to know you as much as we can. And Lord, I hope they have a good rest of their day. And as always, I thank you, Lord, that our favorite love story was signed, Love, Jesus.